Ajá.
¿Ya? Bueno.
Ya, pues ya, bueno.
Ok, en inglés, ¿va? A ver.
Pues yo creo, ahora,
sí, está bien.
Ok. Sí, entonces, ¿sí has escuchado esta madre de Hacker Public Radio o
No,
no?
nunca.
Okay, so let me start out by describing you what this is all about. So
Okay.
so there's this like there's this podcast called Hacker Public Radio, and it's kind of weird. It kind of works like an aggregator.
Okay.
So people like produce. It works in two ways. So in like so mode A. So you can't choose between the modes. You get them both at the same time.
Okay.
But anyhow, so mode A is like syndication. So they kind of subscribe to certain podcasts, and then like you get them through their feed. You know what
Okay,
I mean?
Okay. Yeah. It's something like audio. Have you seen audio?
No, I haven't used it. Didn't Twitter come from audio or something like that?
No, I don't think so. It's something like you describe a web page where you add your podcast, and through that page you can subscribe through different feeds, something like that. But okay, I understand.
Okay, so there's that. So that there's that part, and the other part is that like so people produce special, well, not special, but just like shows that are only for Hacker Public Radio. So
you know what? Twitter did came from audio. I just remember.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Sorry.
I was okay. Opening a Wikipedia and you know, like doing a Wikipedia. Yeah.
Sorry. Okay.
Yeah, I'm turning off my torrent application now, just in case, cuz you know, I don't want that messing up the bandwidth.
Yeah, okay.
So get a nice clear crystal sound and everything else. So so I've been listening. So people like these, like the special show, like the syndicated show, sometimes we get Python, a little bit of Python. Have you listened to that podcast before?
No, never.
No.
No.
It's pretty cool. Like I'm kind of interested in Python, sort of, you know, like once I get a really good hang of Lisp and Haskell and all these like supposedly uber really cool programming languages, then I'm gonna move forward into C and Python and Smalltalk and everything else. But okay. But it's cool to listen to the you know, just to the developments and how you know all the different compilers and you know, stuff like that. So, you know, I mean, it's interesting, even if you don't know Python, like it's really cool from,
yeah,
from just like a developer perspective, a system administrator, you know, from all these kinds of perspectives that you know, kind of orbit around the development of a language, you know.
Yeah, I know, because I have heard some podcasts that are very technically advanced, and I don't have the skills to do what they can do, but it's really interesting to hear how they do this stuff, how they recommendations and everything. I hear, for example, Security Now podcast.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's technically it's really advanced. Of course, it's not meant only for experts, but I don't really use most of the technology discussed. But it's really interesting to hear opinions and everything.
Mhm. Yeah. 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 And right. So one of them is a little bit of Python is one of the syndicated shows. There's other syndicated shows which I don't remember right now, but like lately, like not the not syndicated, like the special shows that people make only for Hacker Public Radio.
Uh-huh.
They include people just talking about the history of computers or their own history with computers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with like before the PC, and even way before that, then like the microcomputers from the 60s and the the mainframes and terminals and that kind of stuff. So anyway, so the guy who's like organizing this stuff, which I can't remember his name, off the top of my head or anything like that, but he's saying like, well, if people don't produce special content for Hacker Public Radio, then it's gonna go off the air, or
Really?
just gonna right, it's just gonna cease to
Oh
exist
my God.
as a pod. Right, so
Okay.
that's like that's the whole. Are we taking time here? Because I only want to make this like 20 minutes long or so.
We can always edit this stuff, but it's like 5 minutes already.
5 minutes already? All right.
Yeah.
So so let's see. So I was so this is the proposal I have for you. Like we just make like every few weeks like just one show to so this Hacker Public Radio thing keeps it doesn't dry up, and we can just talk about just general stuff that's right, like piquing
Yeah, I
our
mean,
interest or whatever, you know.
okay. I think it would be a great idea, and I think that well, we have first.
We need
Tell
a
me what
title
you
too.
think. We have to do first, like introduce ourselves. Why are we making this show? Because
I think we already have that covered since we
really.
already talked about that. Well, that's the whole reason why I just said all that boring shit already.
Well, no, I don't think so. I
What do
think
you mean?
we should
What do you mean
say
by?
more. What?
Oh, well, go ahead then.
Well, okay. I don't remember the first time I used a computer, but it was a really old one for my standards. MS-DOS, and I fell in love with computers at a really early age. But I think I was involved in the hacker community when I was a teenager, from 15 to, I don't know, 20, maybe 19. And I made an e-sign, hacking e-sign in Spanish, and I was really, really getting into programming and all the hacker stuff, really. But I don't know what happened that I changed directions and ended up right now I'm doing research about hackers, and I live in the Mexico US border. I think that's about it.
Well, let's so what state are you in? I mean, let's like geographically so people know. You can look it up on Google Maps, if you're a little
Yeah,
lost
I'm
on
in
how.
Baja. It's in the border with California and Mexicali, a border town or border city, that it's in Imperial County. With the border is it with Imperial County, a very unknown city worldwide, but it is like 2.5 hours from Tijuana. So you know. Okay.
All right. Let's see. Well, so how can I? So a little bit about me then. Well, are we gonna use tags? I mean, handles, or are we gonna use our real names for
Well,
this?
we can use handles. I mean, yeah, use a handle. That will be cooler.
Okay, I guess. I'm just gonna make one up on the spot then, but I've always wanted to. Well, on IRC, I'm verbose on Freenode. Oh no! Wait, hold on. I'm not verbose. I'm Siquilpaque,
What?
which is it's a Mayan sort of a like a finger, not a finger food. What do you call it when like a dip? Yeah,
Yeah, yeah,
it's kind
yeah.
of like that. Yeah. So. Yeah, so that's me. So anyway, so I was born in Tijuana. Although I tell everybody that I'm from Ensenada because if people know I'm from Tijuana, then they'll look at me with like really suspicious eyes, like, oh, you're from
Oh,
there, huh?
yeah. I know what you
Yeah.
mean. I mean, I have to tell people that I live one block away from the border, and still they don't trust. They feel like, I mean,
There's trust
Americans
issues.
sometimes are afraid of Mexico, right? And even if
Yeah.
you are one block away from the border, you're still in the most dangerous place in the world, right?
Yeah. Like, you know, like, yeah. Well, I mean, like Iraq and Afghanistan are probably
Yeah,
more dangerous, but you
exactly.
know, those are like really far away, so they don't kind of count too much.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I was born in Tijuana, and I'm 31 years old. And I remember going to Pick and Save for those people who still who can remember what those it's like. It's like before Walmart and all these other stores that are like offer really cheap crap.
That's
There
true.
were these stores that were called Pick and Save. They're
Huh?
called Big Lots right N now,
Yeah,
right?
right now they are Big Lots.
Okay, so it's got a Big Lots from the 80s, and there were these really interesting books about BASIC.
Oh,
And
really?
the weirder, yeah. And
I never saw that
the
in a
weird.
we can save.
Oh, well, check this out. Not only were they in a Pick and Save, but they were in Spanish. Okay.
Really? Wow.
Yes. So imagine that. So I'm like, okay. So there's these Spanish books on BASIC, and they were like kids.
My life would have been totally different if I saw a basic book in Spanish in a Pick and Save. Really, it would have changed my life.
Well, it definitely changed mine. So I picked it up. So I think so they were really cheap. So I bought like three, and they were like for kids. They were like with for kids and like really like illustrated, you know, and all that kind of thing. And so I was, you know, so back then, you know, before then, I was like, oh, you know, these computers, they're like really magnificent machines. They're like totally mysterious and opaque, and you can't. You know, I'll never find. I mean, I'll be like really old until like I really find out how they kind of work on the inside, which is true, because I still don't really understand completely
Yeah,
how they
okay.
totally work, and I guess nobody really does. At least
Well,
not completely.
okay.
Well, I mean, I have a ways to go still. So anyway, so this the, these books, they kind of really got me curious. Like, oh, basic. Oh, okay. So then, a few years later, my dad got a, you know, found out about the really cool and library system that you guys in the U.S. have, and he found out that you could get a library card even if you weren't a resident. You could just get like a special sort of, I mean, you had to pay a little bit more, but you could get a library card and you could take out books. So
Wow.
I just went and my dad's a. He's my dad's like a dentist, and he's also like a musician and a radio DJ and all these kinds of other music related things. So anyway, he one of his patients, one of his dental patients, like he kind of like, oh, well, I don't have all this money to pay you, but I'll give you a computer. And my dad was like, oh, sweet, cool, all right, sure. So he one night he's like he knocked on my door. I was already asleep, and he said, oh, look what I bought you. Brought you in, and it was like C64, which I knew back then.
Really?
Even it was like 1991 or so. So
Okay.
I had already taken IBM PC classes like DOS and all that kind of. This is night. I took them in 1989 or 1990. So there was no Windows still. It was all MS-DOS. And I remember the big thing that happened over there was people like when the teacher left. This was in the Casa de la Cultura
Okay.
in Tijuana. So
Tijuana,
it's like
okay.
a government-run sort of cultural thing for kids. And one of their programs, I mean, one of their like classes they had was computer. So I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I'll take that. I took tap dancing, singing. I'm a geek, okay? So yeah, so tap dancing appealed to me until the first class, and I was like, no way am I doing that. You know, I'm gonna be. No way, that's like totally yeah. It looks
I
cool
know
like
what
when other
you
people do it. Yeah.
mean.
So I'm like, no way. So anyway, but the I mean I got a really good kick out of the computing classes, and I mean they were kind of useful.
I'm guessing your classmates got a good kick out of you in tap dance.
Yeah, well they didn't really find out. I think I canceled that class like after a week or something. Like I'm not. Yeah.
But I mean
Anyway.
your classmates when they saw you. Well, okay, forget it. Okay, it's okay.
Yeah. Well, they would have if I mean imagine me tap dancing into the class, right? Like, oh, good. Good afternoon, teppity teppity tap. I could like tap with my feet while I typed on the on the keyboard, right? I could
Yeah.
like anyway. So yeah. So I'm making this too long. So anyway, so I learned all the commands, del and you know, dir and all those commands. And then so when my dad brought me the C64, I already knew that it was obsolete, but I didn't care because I could I turned it on, I connected everything, I saw the manual and it used BASIC.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so like right from the start, like from the, like you could use BASIC on the like on the on its command line, quote
Okay.
unquote. So you can program it directly just by starting it up. So that was really appealing. And then like I don't know, like that was 1991. So right now we're two, so 20 years later, I got a so I got two Ubuntu desktops, three actually, a FreeBSD server, which for now is only a crappy file server. And I'm interested in OpenBSD and just in programming languages and linguistics, which is what I'm going to study. I'm 31 and I haven't had a what do you call that in English when you have a licenciatura? What do you call that?
Bachelor's,
Like
bachelor's.
a bachelor's degree, right? So I don't I'm 31 and I don't even have a bachelor's degree, but I'm working on it. And that's those are pretty much my interests, linguistics and computing. And I've
Well,
dabbled there with all kinds of things. So yeah.
okay. You brought to me a lot of memories, but maybe we can save that for later. But I can tell you
Yeah.
that, in Calexico, the border town I'm next to, there's a, you know, the swap meet or flea market, I don't know the exact term, tianguis.
Yeah, from you mean on the US side of the border, right?
Yeah, I mean, and there it's called Santo Tomas, and you know, there's a lot of stuff to buy, clothes, you know, furniture, you know, everything you can buy there, and secondhand. And from time to time, there were boxes with computer stuff, you know, electronics, and I always looked there to see what I could find. You know, they gave you everything practically for free because they didn't know what it was. And frankly, it was really old. It was obsolete. It was, you know, old hardware, useless mostly, but there were some manuals there. So I bought everything I could. So when I arrived home, I looked at every piece of hardware, and I said, "Well, what is this?" And I tried to figure out what it was for, because there wasn't internet really, and so I couldn't look it up. And but I learned a lot. Even there were diskettes or CDs, and I bought them, and I looked at them. There was a lot of interesting information in those disks, and information that shouldn't be there. I mean, they should have for erased the information before they threw it out, but they didn't. And I found out a lot of stuff, and I still go there, but there's not the same, because people now know the value of computers, so they're more they know what it's useless and what's useful, so they I don't know, it's not the same. Okay, so do you have any news?
No, actually it's well the only I don't know like one thing that I had to have to kind of you know get off my chest or just mention or whatever
Yeah.
is that like I've been it's kind of strange 'cause I just got to work I'm just starting like a, it's been a month since I've been working at this government program like educational program for indigenous kids so I'm in like I'm like out in the like in the really rural parts of Mexico and I don't have a 3G modem or anything like that. I mean, I don't have any way of connecting. So Monday to Friday, I'm like totally without internet,
Really?
and it's yeah, and it's kind of really, it's. I mean, I'm gonna get, I'm gonna solve that eventually, but these past weeks, it's been kind of a torture. Also, like, it's really hot. It's really hot. It's really dusty. And there's kids. I mean, I don't have a lot of privacy, so kids kind of come up to me. Or I mean, I'm just in this like kind of like a shack working. And then the kids. I mean, there's no door. There's like two doors, but they don't have like there's two passageways. They don't have. I can't close the doors. There's no. There's just there's doors without doors. I don't know. The English language is kind of weird. But I mean, they don't close. They don't have the stop thing. Whatever. So they just come in and they can like. Interrupt me. So it's kind of the only time I can work is like late at night when the wind blows from the jungle to the street or whatever. So there's no dust in the wind and it's like cool enough so that the machine doesn't like melt while I'm using it. And all the kids are asleep, so I can kind of like, just do stuff. But I by then I'm like really tired. I can't concentrate as well.
You're
So yeah, so it's
describing. I mean, you're talking like f something from another century. I mean, wow.
Yeah, so it's so I'm kind of a little bit out of touch, and I kind of want to. It's kind of like a challenge to find the adequate discipline and sort of like kind of hack in a certain way, like hack time or hack space and time. Kind of find the correct configuration of how to like be able to still work. Because I mean, I do work. I mean, I teach these kids and all these preschool and primary school, but I mean, do my personal projects, computer related personal projects, while I'm in this small town. It's three families, so it's more like a hamlet than a small town. So yeah, so that's my ex big excuse for not being in touch with what's going on. So it'd be
Well,
my guess, like.
it's already 20 minutes, but I
Fuck it,
wanted.
let's just do 10 more minutes then.
Okay, but I have to go, really.
Okay,
So
all right.
I only wanted to say this.
What?
Right now, last week I was working on what is defining what is hacker practice. What makes hacking unique? Because hackers have access to the same technology that every user has access to. There has to be something different that makes hacking unique. It's not only using, technology. It's not. So I finally came to a satisfactory definition of what hacking is. And I did that through several, authors that have approached the subject, but none of them has given a real definition of what hacking is. Everybody talks about hacking, but nobody knows what it is. Of course, if you ask a hacker and you ask him, what is hacking? He's gonna answer you without much trouble. I mean, he's gonna say hacking is, creativity or maybe making technology do something unexpected or something. But
Right, 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 right.
if I'm on the academic field, I have to really make a good definition so people that are not hackers know what hacking is, even if they have never seen hacking before. And I think that hacking has to do with technology, but it's mostly about your attitude towards technology. I mean, a hacker does not only uses technology, he questions technology. I mean, if Steve Jobs says that you can't use, apps for the iPhone that Apple computers has not approved, most users, they don't make a fuss about it. they just accept it, you know? Well, that's the
Yeah.
way it is. That's the rules. That's it. But a hacker knows that that's only a restriction for business purposes. Not really because the
Right.
iPhones can't handle it, but mostly because Apple Computers doesn't want you to use your iPhone freely. So that's one of the things that hackers do. And that's one important component of hacking. The other component I believe is that it's made for fun. You know, it's mostly made because of the challenge and you're kind of enjoying solving a problem. It's not because your boss told you to, or it's not because it's a school assignment. It's more for your own motivation and exploration.
Right.
There are several things I have identified. Maybe you believe that I'm not making a big breakthrough because this sounds obvious for something inside of the hacker community, but it's not obvious for authors about the subject. You know, a lot of people that write about hackers, they write about criminal aspects, or maybe about fraud, or maybe about other stuff that it's there. I can say it's not, but it's not central to hacking. It's more like the view of somebody from the outside
Right,
without.
and viewing the consequence, some sort of consequence instead of the practice itself somehow.
Exactly. And I think that also a lot of emphasis has been put on hackers themselves. And I think that hackers, that's not, for me at least, that's not the important stuff because hacker practice is what makes a hacker. And
Right.
there are a
Yeah,
lot of people.
you are what you do and not who you think you are somehow, right?
Exactly,
That would
exactly. And also, if maybe you do hacker practices, maybe you hack, but maybe you're not a hacker. I mean, there are a lot of people that do stuff that could be considered hacking, but they are not hackers, and they don't think
Yeah,
themselves
they
as
don't
hackers.
identify themselves as such, either to themselves or
Exactly.
to anybody else.
And I don't think that's important
No.
to feel, I'm a hacker, you're not a hacker, I'm a hacker. You know, that's not important. I mean, the important stuff is what you do. And I think that not many authors have, at least in the academic field, have approached the subject this way. So I'm
Hey,
happy.
what was your handle?
My handle, Bad
Yeah,
Bit.
well, at least for the show,
Bad
Bad
Bit.
Bit. All right, that's. Well, why don't.
I never
Never
said,
what?
right? Okay, Bad Bit. That's my handle, and I have to go.
No, wait. Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. We at least. I think at least you should sort of explain, because I mean, this is really real interesting stuff. But I already know what kind of work you're doing, but I think all the listeners probably
Okay.
aren't up to
Okay,
that.
yeah.
So why don't you describe your this academic project you're doing, and what field? Is it anthropology or something like
No.
that,
It's
sociology or what?
close to anthropology. It's a field, a relatively new field called cultural studies. Cultural studies began in the 1950s. So for social sciences, it's quite new. And cultural studies, I don't know where to begin, but the
Well,
approach,
they can Wikipedia that, but I mean,
yeah, but okay,
so
that's true.
how long have you been working on this hacker cultural studies, and what focus does it have specifically? What
Well, this
focus? doing specifically?
This is a project for my master's. My master's in cultural studies. I began in last summer, and I want to know if or why hacker practice or how hacker practice is used for political means. That sounds really crazy for a hacker, but because most of them don't relate to politics, or they are politicized, but they don't see hacking as something political. But I think sometimes it is, not always, because let me put you an example. I mean,
okay.
This guy, Phil Zimmerman, PGP.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know him? Do you
no.
have you used PGP? You know, pretty good privacy, the encryption system.
Yeah. I mean, I'm familiar with it, but I haven't used it for a while.
Okay, okay.
I'm not really interested in it too much.
Okay.
Go on.
Phil Zimmerman, he saw that there was going to be a legislation prohibiting citizens to use encryption. So he didn't think that was fair. So he said, okay, I'm going to develop a good software that, you know, normal people could use to protect their information. And he released it before, you know, that legislation was
took
approved.
Place. Yeah.
Yes. To make it difficult for it to be approved, because he didn't think it
was
fair. And he said that every citizen should have the right to protect his own information from everybody. I mean, not even the government has the right to look at your private information. So it was a long process, in the legal process. Finally, PGP prevailed and still here. It still works. And, you know, I think that's a big achievement. And, you know, he created that model of encryption or that system, you know, that hacking for a political means, you know, political ends. So that's, you know, only one of many examples. So that's why I'm doing this research. I'm focusing on South California, North Baja California. So I'm trying to see differences and similarities between Mexico and the United States. So if you think you can help, you're welcome.
They can write to you or what?
Yeah, of course. My email, I'm always have a lot of trouble with my email, spelling it even in Spanish. So can you put a link in the show notes or something?
Let's do that. So how what are we going to call this show then? We can do it like every 2 weeks, because I'm going to Guatemala for about a week or so. So we can probably record when I get back.
Yeah, but I wish I could.
Are we going to call? I was thinking about something like Spics on Tech or something like that. Something cheeky and tongue-in-cheek.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not very good at
naming stuff. Well, your handle is pretty cool, so I guess.
Oh, thank you. But I chose it when I was 14.
Well, it's still cool.
It stuck. And I don't know, hacker something. Silicon
hacker
border.
Something. Silicon border.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Cool. So so you recorded this, so you'll send it back, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right.
So
right on. You gotta go, right?
Yeah, I have to. Kinda
okay.
I have to.
Yeah.
By the way, I haven't told you this. I found a hackerspace in Ensenada.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, haven't I told you this?
No, you haven't. Well, we haven't talked for a while. We've been busy.
I'm going tomorrow. And
oh, really?
Yes, and there's a kind of a workshop called Electronics for Artists. So I'm going to go the first two classes. So Let's see what it is. And I was really excited because I never believed their hackerspace could exist here.
Yeah,
So what?
and so now that's a pretty cool city.
Yeah, that's true. It has the biggest number of scientists in Mexico, you know, in
There's a research institute there, right?
highest scientist ratio in Mexico.
Wow.
What'd you
Well,
say?
isn't there like a research? There's a research institute there, right? For nuclear physics or
Yeah,
oceanography
there
and
are
other stuff.
several, you know,
Oh, really?
oceanology, you know, physics, several stuff. Yeah, there are a lot of people, a lot of scientists there.
Yeah, I should buy a house there.
Yeah.
I
I
don't know.
should buy
I
a
don't know with
house,
what money,
period.
but
What?
I don't know with what money, but
Yeah.
Right
Okay,
on.
so that
Okay,
I
man.
like this. So I think that next episode we should plan a little
Yeah,
more.
we should plan. Yeah. Okay.
I'm
Right
curious
on.
for who is going to listen to this, but okay.
Probably nobody, but all right.
Well, okay.
Right.
True.
Hey, take care, man.
Same to you.
All right.
Okay, see you.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.